So we are back into ordinary time, as I mentioned at the start of Mass, and last week in a little piece of John's Gospel, who we'll pick up again with in Lent, which is coming sooner than you might think, so mid-Lent this year we get John. But for now, back into Mark for a few weeks, because it is, after all, his year on the whole. And pair tonight with Mark's lovely call story from the Sea of Galilee along the shore there, where the apostles are first called. Paired with that is a reading from the book of the prophet Jonah and his trek to Nineveh. So in these readings together, which are beautiful and rich, we could say a whole lot of stuff, obviously, right? But to come down on maybe like the fine point or the kernel of it, what's going on in the readings, both of them, would be something kind of like this, that I've called over the years the fundamental thread or dynamic of salvation history. And it is this, it is the reality of God's call and our response. Call and response. That dynamic, that pattern, marks all the scriptures. It marks all of human history. It is, as St. John Paul II once called it, sort of the drama of the free will between man and God's goodness, with Christ at the center stage, okay? So call and response, that's what's going on in these readings. And we can ask the question, well, these happen once upon a time, does it happen today still? And the answer is yes. As I always say, we are in these readings too, if we're paying attention. They're not just old stories, they are our stories. It's always true in the scriptures, always, always true. So? How is call and response going on today in the context of these readings, in the context of right now, how does it work? How about three angles, you might say, on this dynamic that the readings tonight bring home to us and pull us, I hope, into them a little bit? The first thing that we have to note, and it's easy to skip over because it's an obvious point, but we do have to linger a bit on it because it's a foundational point, and it is this one. In the case of the book of Jonah, first reading, and the gospel, what we are hearing about is an encounter with the Word of God. An encounter with the Word of God. That's what's happening in these readings. God's Word is encountered, okay? Easy to figure out in Jonah, right? I mean, he is a prophet. He is perhaps the most reluctant of the prophets, and also, ironically, the successful of them, the only successful one, I guess you could say. What does he do? He goes to Nineveh, a foreign city, and he proclaims God's Word, unvarnished, unwatered down, unparsed, straight out. What does he say? Shape up. Bad things are going to happen to you because you are not living well, as God wants you to. So he preaches to them. God's word is brought to them. They encounter it in his person and in his presence, in his message. Same thing for the gospel. We find Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, the Word itself. What is he doing? He is proclaiming a similar message as Jonah did. Jesus finds himself tonight in the school or tradition of the old prophets, and what does he say? Repent, change, be different because the kingdom of God is at hand. God has come among you. God is visiting his people, and it means things are different now for you. So the word is encountered there too, and not only that, as he walks along the shore in part two of the gospel, it's encountered by the very first apostles, James and John, Andrew and Simon. So the word is encountered there too. So a fundamental movement here that's going on, okay, God's word is encountered. How does it happen today? That was once upon a time, that's Jonah in Nineveh, and that's the shores of Galilee in the Holy Land. What about today, right here in West Bend? The fact is we encounter God's word today too. It happens in lots of ways. I can give a few that are pretty important. The most obvious one would be in the scriptures themselves. The sacred writings of the Old and the New Testament are beautiful. They're inspired, and they are God's word. And the church has protected them for centuries and centuries, bringing them forward so that each new generation can always encounter the same word anew, and it can act upon us accordingly. So we come to Mass, we hear the scriptures. I just read them, and so did others too who are baptized. They can read in God's own voice and his own word. It's beautiful. We hear the scriptures throughout the rest of the Mass too. The Mass is so biblical. We're always accused by Protestants of not being Bible-oriented, but the fact is Catholics get more scripture in our services than anybody else does, okay? So scriptures are at Mass first and foremost. But not only that, so many of you here, and me too, have the custom in the morning or sometime during the day of looking at the daily scripture readings in a prayer book or a missal or maybe on an app on your phone or maybe listen to a podcast in the bishop's conference or Bishop Barron, whatever. We can have all these chances to encounter Scripture during the day. Okay? We have Scripture study groups at the parishes, and for Lent coming up again soon, you're going to get word about this in a couple of weeks. We're going to having small groups to break open the Scriptures and encounter God's Word. So these are how we meet the Lord, right? In the Scriptures, all these important ways. We also meet God's Word, okay, we encounter it in the teachings of the church. So all the teachings, right? Things in the catechism, things the Pope has to say, things that the bishops have to say. We articulate teachings anew for each generation so that we can all understand in our current context what God's trying to say to us. And in both cases, Scriptures and church teachings, it's important that we follow Jonah's example and the Lord's example and not water things down. They must be given in their entirety. Sometimes we have the bad habit, I think, of kind of picking and choosing the ones that we like, the fuzzy Scriptures, the warm ones, the favorite ones. And those are the ones that you find on, like, billboards or coffee mugs at the Hallmark website or whatever, which is fine. It's God's Word, okay? We also need the hard ones, too, the tough ones, the ones that say shape up. And the hard church teachings, too, the tough ones that are the controversial ones that we don't always like to hear. We need all of it proclaimed to us, okay? Not watered down. We also encounter God in our daily prayer. Prayer is meeting His Word. So quiet of the morning, quiet of the evening. It's good to pray. We must pray. And in fact, maybe you pray as a family around the table as a group. Maybe you pray before bedtime as a family. That's great. But each person here of any age, no exception, needs to make time for God alone each day. Just you and God. And in that quiet time, God speaks to us, and we get to learn His voice. And also, God's Word is encountered in the voice of our conscience. The church tells us that the little voice that rises in our head that says, right or wrong, do this, don't do that, commandment this, commandment that, that's God's Word. That's God's voice. And the church says to us, sharpen your conscience, form it well, because as you do, you're going to hear His voice clearly, and you'll walk in the right pathway all the more readily and easily. So, to encounter the Word, right, like Jonah's hearers did and the Lord's hearers did, it happens to us too. Scriptures, church teachings, prayer, conscience, and other ways, but those are some main ones, right? We encounter the Word. Second piece, okay, of the call and response dynamic, we encounter the Word. Secondly, the Word comes out to us. The Word is on the move, it's active, and it meets us in our ordinary circumstances. Right where we're at, God comes to find us, okay? It's certainly true in Jonah's case. What does he do? He is sent to a neighboring territory. These are enemies of the Jewish people. This would have been the capital of Assyria, and long story about how historical the story is or not, but the point is, Jonah went a long way to get there. God sent His Word on a journey to a group of people. And when he got there, what does he do? He just tells the whole city. There's no picking and choosing. He just says to everybody who wants to hear him, this is what's going to happen to you. So if one looks at the whole story of Jonah, which is kind of a cool little story, okay, there's a king involved in the story, and there's the average people involved in the story, and there's even the cattle. They're involved in the story too. So everybody gets God's Word, all right? There's no discrimination. In their ordinary circumstances that he encounters them. Gospel, same thing. What does the Lord do? He preaches to anybody who listened to him. Around he goes in the countryside. And not only this, okay, he does encounter ordinary people who respond. We sometimes think that the apostles who are at center stage, well, Jesus center stage, left of center stage, okay, in the gospel story, that these apostles were different kind of people than we are. But that's not true. And we sometimes think that they were just a bunch of, like, you know, sort of ignorant fishermen, you know, guys with a fishing pole on the end of a pier who were bored and just came and followed this preacher. Not true. Looking at the Scriptures carefully and looking at the historical context, we learn that these guys were a lot like we are today, very, very much like us. The best way to describe them would be small business owners. They had equipment, they had employees, they had a ledger, they had an annual budget, they had to make ends meet, they worked at this with all of their lives and hearts, they fed a family, they were at a cultural crossroads in Upper Galilee along a trade route, which meant they would have had to know for their trade, Greek and Latin and Hebrew. So they were educated people and they knew things. So what I'm telling you is, therefore, the Word finds us or finds people where they're at. Ordinary, average, everyday people. God comes out to them, and he meets them, and he pursues them. Today, same thing, right? God's word comes out to us in a whole different, anything that we can possibly encounter him, he will do so. So he's going to find us today, okay, at our work, at our desk, doing our homework. If we are in an occupation, he's going to be right alongside of us during the day, at conversations at the dinner table, in the bedroom, in a marriage, in the events of life, in a parish, in the chatter of the events around us. So it's in the ordinary events of life that the word's going to meet us. And we should never think that we're immune from that. We can hide, we can run away, we can plug our ears, we can not bother, but eventually God's going to just keep chasing us. That's what he does. So the word is encountered because it's on the move, and it moves into our lives in the ordinary details of all the events of our day. It's there if we're paying attention, just like it was on Galilee's shores. You might say here in West Bend, we're right on the shoreline of Galilee, same thing. Jesus walks among us and says to all of us, I'm here among you and I call you. Okay, we're no different, no different. Which leads to the last piece of this dynamic of calm response, okay? So words encountered because it's active among us in our ordinary events. And three, it demands a response. You might say it almost causes a response because the word is powerful all on its own. The readings make it very clear. The word does things. The word impacts people. It shapes whatever it runs into. Jonah goes to preach. The town hears. What do? The whole city repents. It's remarkable. So powerful is the unwatered down word of God that the Ninevites all change their ways, according to the story. Even the cattle sit in ashes, okay? Even the cattle are moved by the preaching of the word. Gospel, same thing. What happens? Jesus proclaims and preaches, and he walks along the shore, and he calls, and these men decide to follow after him. That disrupts family, routine, occupation, habits. They decide it's going to change and adjust and to leave things behind to go after this man. That's a remarkable response. So it's constructed, the text is on purpose to show us the word has that kind of power. The word has that kind of power, okay? What does it mean for us today? It means that none of us should be surprised if when we pray, hear the scriptures, hear church teachings, that we are changed, that something moves in our hearts, that something shifts. The word's going to act upon us. It's going to push us. It's going to pull us. It's going to break things open. It's going to disrupt families. It's going to disrupt communities. It's going to disrupt nations. It's going to mix things up. It's going to heal. It's going to help. So it's going to do all these things because the word is powerful. And if we're paying attention just a tiny, tiny bit, and even remotely open, it will do things. So no one should be surprised if we feel like God's acting on us, because he is. The word does things. And it gets exhausting sometimes, I must say. It's always acting on me. Sometimes I say to God, enough, back off, you know, no more, okay? But the fact is, God loves us too much to leave us like we are. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He doesn't want that. He always wants to keep pushing us forward and growing us and molding us and bending us and shaping us into holy sons and daughters. So because he loves me and you, he's going to act on me and you. It's going to hurt sometimes, but it's what I need. His word does that. Okay? So that's it. That's the whole dynamic, right? Call and response. It's the great drama of salvation history. God's going to call out. The question is, how are we going to react, right? If we take it remotely seriously, even a little exposure to the word, it's potent. It's going to help us. It's going to push us, right? We can rest on this. This is good, good news, because we often hear today, you know, how bad the world is, right? What's going on out there? Where are things at? Why are things so hard? But a Christian says, you know, we can rest on the power of God and on the truth that through all of human history, he's always been active, and he's never done chasing, that the people do still respond. Men still go to the seminary. People still come forward to become Catholic, like you see tonight. Prayers are still heard. Miracles do happen. People are still moved. decisions do come from the inspiration of the Spirit. It does happen. We can rest on the fact that God is at work and have confidence in that and not our own little devices, which are, well, what they are, little. So let's trust that. Welcome his word, hear his voice, and let it shape us into the people he wants us to be. People who are of the gospel, of the kingdom, of his own light and goodness, people of salvation, people of the word, dwelling among us, who is Jesus Christ now and forever. Amen.